hand.
How many of you were here last week? Okay. Okay, one of the very first principles of education is reinforcement. And when you hear something, then you go back and you reinforce it. No. That sometimes works. Renee, go get me a glass of water so I can throw it on CJ. Thinking back.
Can I do it?
Now we're going to have a fight. Never mind. Oh, man, I haven't even gotten started.
Church has a fundraiser. I could be that guy on the dump
tank. Let me just, y'all, let's go back. All right. What, when you think back to the DVD presentation last week, what was the most interesting, disturbing, frustrating, and you fill in other blanks, that was presented in the DVD about the emerging church? What did you hear that bothered you the most? The what?
The authority with which they're received.
Okay. Barbara?
People actually
Why are they following it?
Because they're ignoring.
Misuse? Okay. Yeah, if it's not constant, then why place any understanding in it? Any other particular points that you think of? I remember one thing, and I cut my eyes to Gary like that. See, now, Brother Jack takes conviction and comfort from Job. Gary takes conviction and comfort from Romans. And when he said that he wanted to take Romans out of the Bible for at least a year, was it 5 years? I didn't know what was going to happen to Gary. And I had two songs running through my mind, two old country standards that Gary, I thought, was singing in his heart. One was Merle Haggard's "You're Walking on the Fighting Side of Me," and the other was Hank. You don't know anything about this. No. Hank Williams Jr.'s "A Country Boy Can Survive," the line that says, "I'd like to spit some beech nut in that dude's eye and shoot him with my old 45. I thought if they ever mentioned Job, we might have a riot in here. Jack and Gary just tearing the floor. Ooh, did it not bother you that much, Gary? Or did you just consider the source? Okay. Why Romans, do you think?
Why Romans? That for me personally, that book of the Bible, that epistle, has changed my life more than any other in the Word of God.
A large number of people would say that. Oh, I couldn't believe some of the things, and they're so smooth when they say that. If you don't pay close attention to what they're saying, they're so smooth when they say it, it's almost melodic, and it goes into you. My first degree was in speech, and that was called Machiavellianism. The ends justify the means. You tell this little soft lie over and over and over, and before long, people will start to believe you. And that is so constant now. And it frightens me that, do you know where Jehovah's Witness and Mormons get most of their converts? From the Southern Baptists. That's right. Because they have such a massive organization. Renee and I were Baptists for 50 years. We did our part. But the masses are not, and I hate to use the word because it sounds bad, but it's true, are not indoctrinated with the word. You can be so easily swayed, because when they pick one scripture out, they can, if you're weak enough, they can convince you of almost anything with that one. Don't you believe the Word of God? Well, yeah, of course I believe. Well, look what it says right here. And if you're not careful, it's taken out of context and it says something. Like, probably the most misused scripture in the entire Bible is what?
Right.
Yeah, but the one that is in there. Judge not lest you be judged. The most misused, the most misunderstood, and next time somebody say, do you know where that is? Read the scripture before it. Now quote both of them too. And the one after, okay. Yeah. They don't know where it is. They just heard it and it sounds good and said, I don't want you talking to me. I found it one of the best things we've done. It is, if we don't learn much, at least we know it's there. If we can't remember much. Now, you, Pat, gave me a sheet some months ago. Do you remember that? I'd like to suggest that we pass that, if at all possible, to everybody. Because what we hear, we retain 20% of it for 6 months, if we are really smart. What we see, it's more like 50% for 6 months. Now, I've forgotten the statistics exactly, but you've got to see it in order to really ingest it. I was really very surprised at what they were teaching and how many people were believing them.
I'd like to know if anybody has had opportunity to discuss it around the water cooler, so to speak. In the workplace.
Bring it up the next day at work because I remembered what they said.
Yeah.
Even though it was another Christian brother, you know what? There's a lot of people that listen to you.
What did Jesus refer to us as all the time? Something else. Sheep. And have you ever worked around sheep? Anybody in here?
Yes, we do.
They're stupid. You put one goat in front of a herd of sheep, one goat can lead a herd of sheep over a cliff because the sheep pick out who the leader is and they just follow. Wherever the goat leads them, they will go. Well, what?
That's a very good analogy because they're the goats and the sheep. And you get these other paths, these so called pastors being the goat leading all the sheep right off the cliff.
Yeah.
It's true.
And if while they're followed, it's not bad.
Oh, that was sick.
Oh, that was bad.
How long have you been reserving that?
Oh, yeah, for a long time.
The one I told a while ago, I heard that 50 years ago, literally. 50 years ago, and I've been saving it for tonight. You didn't think I could remember anything 50 days, let alone 50 years.
Well,
no, actually, I didn't. I was just much smarter then. Okay, let's look at chapter 5 of James. Ah, yes, I know. Chapter 5 of James. Let's pause for prayer, please. Thank you, Father, for all the blessings you give us. You give us so much. You give us everything. And so frequently we pay no attention to what you want from us. And we take and take and take and ignore the fact that we're supposed to return to you just a small portion is all you ask of what you've given us, and we don't even do that. Forgive us for that and help us to understand better what James has to say tonight. Okay, when I was a youth, back when I could remember things for a little while, my life was full bore. Whatever I got interested in, I went at it with all the strength that I put that up so you'd get interested. With all the strength that I could muster, and I worked on that one thing. When I was a preschooler, I treasured free time, playtime. I wanted to play out time. I could play out time outside all the time. There was a girl that lived across the road. Now, it wasn't a street. It was an old country road. And her name was W. Sue Smith. Now, girls were yucky. Back in preschool days, they were yucky. Remember, guys? Oh, they were yucky. But she was the only playmate I could find, so I played with W. Sue Smith. Did what? I think Jack needs you with the youth. When I was in grade school, I went full bore at what I wanted to do, and all I wanted to do was win. Just to be winning. And girls were not allowed to play this game because girls were yucky. Any of you recognize that? Think back to your earliest days in school. What? Barbara, I heard you. So, what? No. No. It may. I'm a little older than most of you, but I did. Did any of you never play dig holes in the ground and play marbles? All right. Do you remember this game now, Gary? Yeah, okay. You and I can't remember the rules, but you started right here. You started right here at this hole in the ground, and then you went to that one, then to that one, that, back. And the first one to get to this one was the winner. There were no gambling. There wasn't when I was growing up anyway. Just winning. When you were able to win, then that was the ultimate. Not in that one, but in this one you did. The next few years, what was that? Yeah, and it was keeps, wasn't it? All right, you got around the circle with your, what was it called, the shooter? Tall, remember? And the tall was what you shot with. And of course, we all thought it was in the tall, not in the shooter. But whatever you knocked out of the circle was yours, and you got to keep it. It was, and I remember... it was a circle with a bunch of little bitty holes in it. Okay. You remember it? Okay. Now, when I left home, I had all of my winnings in a lard bucket under the bed. I remember counting them. And every afternoon when I came home, I'd put my winnings in there. That's what life was about, was winning. And I think I had about 750 marbles in the lard bucket. I was, and that's about what I was going to say when I left. I lost my marbles. I have no idea what happened to my marbles. I just remember that I had more marbles in my lard bucket than anybody else did. What? I don't know. I really don't know what she did with them. They lived there until Daddy died in 77. When I got to be a little bit older, one of the greatest things in life was to go horseback riding. Now, my pastor loved horses as much as June Ho loves guns. Well, let me think on that a minute. Yeah, I think he loved horses as much as June Ho loved guns. Now, I had a very religious horse. I taught her to pray and kiss me and shake hands. At that time, it was better to have her kiss me than a girl because girls were yucky, even at that age.
Renee, did you realize that these kids horses when you first
had them? Oh, I wish I could get through this first part. What's that? And then when I decided that girls would rather ride in a car than on a horse, I traded my horse for a T-bird. I quit chasing the skirts, and I started dating Renee. And then I had a Damascus Road experience. No more skirts, just one lady. Thank God. James 5:1-6. Somebody read that for me, please. Because as soon as I got married, I fell into another trap, and that was going full bore with what I wanted to do with my life. Who will read that for me? James 5:1-6. How many places can you find where James apparently condemns money? Did he condemn money? Did he condemn what about money? The abuse. The love of it. We fall into the trap. I fell into the trap of more. I looked this statistic up. I think I can find it quickly. The richest 2% of adults in the world, the richest 2% of the adults in the world own more than half of the global household wealth. 2% have 50%. Is that hoarding?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. What's that? Just a little bit of hoarding. They can't find how much is enough. We can so easily fall into that trap. We want, let's say, $5,000. Now, that's not nearly enough. We want 10, and then we want 20, and before long. There is no amount of money that will satisfy that desire for more, because no matter how much you get, you always want more, if that's what you allow yourself to get into. Somebody who can remember, do you remember the first chapter in which James spoke about money? It's been several weeks, maybe even. Okay? I was thinking there was one in chapter 1. I didn't look back. Somebody to look and see if you can find it in chapter 1. If not, we have to give it to the pastor. I thought there was a scripture in
chapter 1, verse 9.
Verse 9, what does it say, Pastor?
Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation and the rich in his humiliation.
Okay, yeah. In these first six verses, many theologians have spoken out on it. I've read some of them. Some conjecture that he is speaking to the Jews of the day. Others conjecture that he was speaking to Jews who had become members of the church, and James is warning them. Most of them believe that he's offering consolation and hope to those who have been mistreated by those who have taken advantage of them. How many of you have ever worked and not been paid? Someone who is powerful, who has a position, who really doesn't care what you think, and you know they don't need it. And that's who James is talking about here, is the ones that take advantage of those who are far down on the totem pole. He refers to gold in a couple of verses. Let me look at a couple of things that he did here. Your riches are corrupted. Now, corrupted in this sense doesn't occur anywhere else in the New Testament. This is the only place that the word that James used in the original occurs in the New Testament. The only place. What were the riches of the day? See, today we have nice cars, nice trucks, great big beautiful homes. We have more land than we could possibly ever need. We have, you name it, and that is one. What were the things that they looked? Remember, they didn't have the cars. I happen to like my big widescreen TV, and you can't come and get it. And I'm not giving it up. But it didn't cost that much, see? What were the things that they had then, at that time, that indicated to the people about them that they were the wealthy ones?
Fleet of camels.
Clothes. And he refers to that. Okay. All right. Okay. Theologians point out that there are three main things. One was food. Not the food of the underling or the person that served their table, but sumptuous food. Plenty of food. Food that they threw out after each meal because they didn't want to eat leftovers. Another, I don't know what we'd do at our house if we ever started throwing out the leftovers. The other is our clothes. I'll be lucky if I get any food from now on. Or the clothes, because they could, the styles didn't change then like they do now. The styles then changed only every 100 years or so. So they could buy these big, luscious looking robes and they would last them a lifetime. But the poor could not buy them. And then what was the other thing he referred to? Your gold and silver is cankered. And this is another word, cankered, that is not used anywhere else in the entire New Testament. This is what gold is supposed to look like. It's bright and it's shiny. And it doesn't look like it would ever do anything but be bright and shiny. Go home tonight and look in your trunk where you keep your gold bars and see if they haven't tarnished. The gold and the silver is cankered, meaning that it is beginning to waste away. Now, when I first came here, I got interested in lapidary. Do you know you can't burn silver up? I was fearful of getting it too hot and destroying it, and the guy said, no. Laid a piece down there, just a chunk of silver, put the blowtorch to it and try to make it. It will not burn up. It turns flat, it balls up, but you still have the same silver. But he's saying you've hoarded it for so long that it is beginning to literally rust. Now, that means it hasn't been there for a month or even 10 years. You've put it back there and you haven't had any use for it in 20 years or 30 years or whatever, but it's beginning to destroy itself. The hire of the laborers. Somebody read for me Leviticus 19:13. This is the first time that I ever heard this. I should have heard it before. I should have looked it up before. I should have been all over it as soon as he read it. But the hire of the laborers. I never noticed that before. Now, we know that we shouldn't cheat them. We know that when they work for us, we owe them a certain wage. We've agreed contractually, either on paper or verbally, that we'll pay them a certain amount. But at that time, when they had finished the day, you paid them for that day's work. You did not let their wages stay in your house overnight. They got paid that day. What would happen was they would just stretch it out and stretch it out until sometimes they would not get their food, their money at all. And let's look at 5:5 and 6, saying that they're... Read that again for me, please, would you? 5:5 and 6. Incredibly selfish people. When we get too selfish, we get too selfish. Have you ever known anybody who was free with money? Were they not usually the ones that did not have a great deal? I'm serious. The people who are most free with money are the ones who do not have a great deal. One of our friends that we first met was buried just the other day, and first time I'd ever heard that when people needed money, old Judd literally went to the bank sometimes and borrowed money in order to loan to people. He didn't charge them interest, as far as I know, but he had to pay interest. I thought Judd was probably well off because he was always available to give and to loan. But he had to go borrow much of the money that he had loaned to people. That's a free heart. When he died, found he didn't have that much. He was just a good man who cared for his fellow Christians. We need to do the same. I'm going to stop there because we have two or three other things to take care of tonight. And one of those is communion.